Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Scott Schaefer, in for Rachel Miro. San Francisco symphony musicians have stopped the music and gone on strike. Symphony executives say they're offering the musicians a base salary of $142,000 a year, keeping them among the highest-paid orchestra members in the country. But musicians say top-level managers have gotten generous bonuses, while they've been asked to accept a one-year pay freeze. Violist David Godrey heads the musicians' negotiating committee.
That kind of an offer is going to put us in a position where we will not be able to hold on to our most talented players, and we certainly won't be able to recruit the most talented available players in the pool that are out there.
The strike comes just a week before an East Coast tour that includes concerts at Carnegie Hall and the Kennedy Center. California water officials today released the first part of a $23 billion plan to restore the Sacramento Delta and protect the water supply for millions of Californians. This first part spells out strategies to save dwindling numbers of fish in the Delta. Democrats will officially regain their supermajority in the state Senate when San Diego Assemblyman Ben Hueso takes office next week. Hueso won a special election Tuesday to replace Democrat Juan Vargas, who's now in Congress. Democrats briefly lost their two-thirds majority when State Senator Michael Rubio from Bakersfield suddenly resigned. And Governor Brown is giving thumbs up to the selection of the first Jesuit as Pope. Brown, who trained as a Jesuit when he was young, also says having a Pope from Argentina will give him a broader perspective of the world. Every day in California, about 9 people commit suicide. A unique partnership between a hospital and clinic in Sacramento is taking a hands-on approach to reduce that number. It's a suicide prevention arrangement that targets people who've already tried and failed to take their own lives, and it's all done over the phone. Reporter Lauren Whaley met with people on both sides of those calls.
John is a self-described happy-go-lucky 29-year-old. He's now a student in human services at American River College in Sacramento. But last year, he had been let go from 2 different jobs.
At that point in time, I knew that I had absolutely nothing left. I was emotionally and mentally stripped. My pride was gone.
John was facing bankruptcy and was forced to move in with friends. And then he got some more bad news.
I was diagnosed with HIV.
And so he lost the last thing he thought he had, his health. One day this past August, he thought, I am tired of doing this. That day, he decided to end his life.
Like in my room, I wrote out my note. I got all my medication out on my bed and I just started taking it. And all of a sudden, what I just realized is here I am laying on my floor. And I think, oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Lying on the floor, he yelled for help. His roommates called 911. After waking up at Sutter General's Emergency Department in downtown Sacramento, John signed up for a unique program that matched him with a suicide prevention specialist at a local clinic. That person would give him a call every few days for a month just to check in.
Ultimately, I knew that I had a cushion for support. I knew that if I was having a hard time, I absolutely had somebody available there.
John asked that we use his first name only because of the shame he feels is associated with both suicide and HIV. He says when he saw the calls pop up on his cell phone, he'd remember he wasn't alone in the world. Those calls to John were made from a room at the back of a clinic in South Sacramento.
Yeah, I was calling from Suicide Prevention and Crisis Services. Hi, I was just calling to follow up and see how you were doing.
That's Roop Dillon. It's her job to call people, like John, to try to keep them from going back to the hospital. Or worse.
Well, tell me a little bit more about how the last couple of days have been for you.
The follow-up program is free. And if a patient can't afford therapy, they can go directly to the clinic, called WellSpace Health, for 6 free counseling sessions.
Makes make you really upset. Mm-hmm. You're so trying to figure mm-hmm. out what you want to do, and they expect you to have things for you.
This emergency department follow-up program between Sutter Medical Center and WellSpace Health is unique because it's proactive. Dillon calls people who have just gotten out of the emergency room. She calls her clients from the same room where the clinic runs a more traditional 24-hour crisis hotline. So the clinic has both the well-known hotline and the newer phone call outreach.
Yeah, because of the economy, you're not able to take any classes anymore.
Those hotline calls come in from 32 counties around Northern and Central California, including from emergency phones strategically stationed on bridges for people who may be thinking about jumping.
Suicide prevention, are you going suicidal?
Yeah.
And do you have a plan? Okay. And have you attempted suicide before?
Lisanne Wick manages suicide prevention and crisis services at the clinic. She says when volunteers answer the phones, they never know how close the callers are to the edge.
That being said, we talk to people who aren't suicidal at all and maybe just need to talk or a little bit depressed or anxious or sad. But we also talk to people who are standing on the train tracks or have a loaded gun in their hand or have a noose wrapped around their neck.
Suicide prevention is important on many levels, from getting people immediate treatment to reducing hospital readmissions, says Jonathan Porteous, the CEO of WellSpace Health.
It saves all elements of the system. It saves on associated costs in the mental health system. It saves on associated costs in the coroner office. It saves on associated costs in the healthcare industry.
Porteous has seen a big benefit, too, for people close to those thinking about taking their own lives. Hospital staff, family members, people like the clinic's Lisanne Wick, who was drawn to suicide prevention over a decade ago after her brother took his own life.
We've affected the lives of thousands, literally, over the last 10 years, probably tens of thousands.
Wow. Do you think if your brother had had something like this, he would have been able to get help?
We do know that people that call the crisis lines are helped. We know that statistically. We know that anecdotally from our experience. I can't speak for my brother if he would have called, and I don't know if he had knowledge about suicide hotlines. I wish he would have, though, because I do know that it makes a difference, and we save lives on a daily basis.
The outreach program has served about 300 people so far, and none have died from suicide. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Whaley in Sacramento.
That story was produced in collaboration with the California Healthcare Foundation Center for Health Reporting. That's the California Report for Thursday, March 14th. A production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation. With nomination information about the 2014 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards available at www.irvine.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.